Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Facebook Live.
Do you want me to say hello back?
Yeah, go on. Say hello to Facebook Live.
Hello to you or to Facebook Live?
It's Facebook Live, of course.
Hello, Facebook Live.
Hello to the world. Podcasters, Facebook Livers, rugby fans in general, from the Egg Chasers shipping container in London.
Yeah, how is the shipping container?
The TMO shipping container in London is it's had intermittent Wi-Fi, but it sounds like it's good now.
Yeah, pretty good now. Yeah, the shipping container was relatively unused in the two big games this weekend.
There's one held up. Who was held up? Anyway, let's not talk about held up tries now. It's just a bloody introduction, isn't it?
All I can say about that is it was used far too much in a Barbarians game. It shouldn't be needed in a Barbarians game.
No, it really shouldn't. You're absolutely right there.
Agreed.
Also, what shouldn't be used is idle chit-chat during the introduction. So, hands in, boys. Metaphorical pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. On this, the start of a new dawn, the start of the reign of the Exeter Chiefs. We'll be talking about Harry Williams, Henry Slade, Ollie Devoto, Dolman, Matt Jess, even though he didn't play, Turner, even though he didn't play, Jack Noll. We'll be talking about all of them. But I'm also joined by Philip. Hello.
Hello, Jonathan.
And of course, Timothy. How are you, Timothy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, before we get into this, remember, you can find us on Acast, on Facebook, or you can find us on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast. But most importantly, you can find us by leaving us a small review on iTunes, much like one of our listeners has already done. Isn't that right, Tim?
That is correct. A 5-star review left by El Stantio, whose review is titled #LTBP, and then says, 5 stars. 3 Manc-ish lads attempt to overcome their jealous, grief-fueled lust for Jack Berger's wizened face through the sale of precision-imported German razor blades.
Yeah, very good.
Their blunt, thinly veiled Brexit bants and political posturing only adding to the uneasy tension.
They're going to love your 15 today.
As JB spouts a bizarre mix of anti-globalist, far-right ideology, fixated on watching boys play,
yes. Phil... Let them play.
Phil mediates by quietly quoting IBM pitch tracker statistics with calm bitterness. Tim attempts to apologise for the general atmosphere in the room while espousing his own anti-free trade and immigration stance on world rugby employment law.
That's very good.
And all the while desperately clinging to the hope he might be the next John Inverdale. Utter nonsense. 5 stars.
Utter nonsense, Tim. Quite
still,
agreed.
Still 5 stars, of course.
Yeah. But one more thing to mention as well is we got a tweet from Justin Woolen, who was refereeing a game between Old Ruts Rugby Club and Gowerton Rugby Club, and said that he can only assume that Old Ruts Rugby Club all listened to Egg Chasers because during the game, while he was reffing, all they kept saying was, let the boys play.
Exactly.
Good lads.
That's all they need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the... That's like, do you know when people are watching scrums and they don't know, and you've got that one phrase, like, he's boring in. You only need one phrase for refs now, and that's just let the boys play.
Binding on the arm.
Binding on the what?
Binding on the arm.
The wrong bind.
I like always the man in the stand just going, every time, ref.
Every time. They're doing it every time. What are they doing? Every time they're doing it.
If you ever watch rugby league, there's always the shout, get them back 10. They're not back 10. Get them back 10.
Can we talk about rugby league later?
Maybe.
Have you got enough time?
We've got a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah. Where should we start? Should we obviously start with what I consider, you know, one of the best victories ever to happen in the history of, well, sport, really.
Scarlets, Munster.
What a weekend for that to happen too, actually. You know, just as I'm about to wax lyrical about Exeter, that was also quite some game.
Hell of a game, hell of a performance from Scarlets.
Actually, before we get into this, you were at the game, weren't you, Tim?
I was at Exeter, the Wasps Exeter game, yeah, at Twickenham.
Did you win your fight with Andy Goode?
It was a draw, score draw. Oh. I think the winner on the day was Borislav, who made an appearance
did he?
On the stage in the fan village at Twickenham.
Yes, that's what the fans really want to see, isn't it?
I saw a couple of pictures of that. Looked interesting.
Yeah, he dressed up an Exeter and a Wasps fan, and then led a dance off on the stage in front of thousands of people in the fan village.
Good lad.
Any news on where Borislav is off next year?
Off to London Irish, mate.
Yeah, he's off to London Irish. We announced that. Oh, no. But Borislav is not a rugby player at all. But someone he spent a lot of time with, Petros Duplessis, is definitely... We announced that about November. That
never seen them in the same room, just saying.
Yeah, true.
So you were obviously on the fan stage with Goody. Did you get inside the game or do you have to watch it from outside?
I did both. I could get inside.
How?
I got into the game and then I watched the second half from the outside on some crash mats in front of the big screen.
Oh,
the car
cool.
Park. It was nice.
So go on then. As you were there, give me your in-person take of how you think it all unfolded.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can add to that. I mean, the atmosphere was as good as any rugby game I've ever seen, and both sets of fans were an absolute credit.
Mm.
Both clubs are outstanding clubs. What I loved was the two storylines coming into it. Either way you looked at it, it was going to be a really special occasion and a special outcome, because Wasps, where they were 5 years ago,
absolutely,
to where they are now, it was kind of fitting that they were coming back to London for this big game, and they were uniting the new fans from the West Midlands and the old fans from London. And then, of course, the Exeter story is amazing. I think one thing, definitely when you look down the Wasps squad, and I was looking through the programme, lots of people have been a bit cynical about Wasps, saying, oh, they've just been buying success and all the rest of it. How many homegrown players have they brought through? Much like Saracens, it's both quality clubs.
That's a good question. How many homegrown players have they bought through?
The vast majority.
Wade, Daly,
Wade,
Bassett.
Yeah, Wade. Bassett's not. Bassett's from somewhere, from the Championship, I think.
Bedford.
But he wasn't he? Was he Wasps Academy and then went to Bedford and then back?
Yeah.
Back to Wasps Academy.
No, I think it's a perfectly fair point. That club has been through all sorts recently. I mean, they always famously say, don't they, Dai Young had to spend his own money on, I think, physio equipment at one point. Yeah. And I think also the commentators mentioned they had a game against London Irish, 5 years ago, just to stay in the Premiership. So it is a fantastic story.
But I think every neutral got the outcome they wanted in terms of storylines. Oh. You're not going to find a better one.
Tell you what, at full time of that game, I was devastated already for the team that would lose it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It was just, it was such an intriguing clash of styles as well. And I have been a little bit down on Wasps. I've said a lot about, I don't think they're particularly good team. I think they're more about talent than teamwork, but they held out tremendously well.
Yeah, their defence was exceptional. For Exeter, one point, was it 34 or 37 phases?
Yeah.
And the Wasps defence during that period was brilliant, because Exeter, when they get, we said it lots of times this season, when they get so close to the line, and Saracens experienced this in the semi-final a week ago, when they get so close to the line, they are devastating.
They really are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe my favourite passage of play since Sale spent 7 minutes in the corner of the recreation ground in Bath was that 32 phase passage of play. Oh, it was good. It was so... I mean, the discipline and the precision to pull that off and the fitness and the dedication.
Oh, yeah. From both sides as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it just meant that Wasps basically couldn't compete at the breakdown. They couldn't compete at the breakdown because Exeter were just so incredibly ferocious. Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing to watch.
There was one element of that, though, that I will say. I think that fine margins in cup finals, and I think Exeter played they narrowed and simplified their game a little 5-10% more than they normally would do.
Do you think,
and as a result,
in the second half?
No, I definitely do. The fact that they went through 32-34 phases is because they weren't really doing anything other than kind of one out, generally one or two out crash. And that's not a criticism at all. I'm saying that they made less mistakes on the day. It was an error-strewn first half.
First half especially.
Yeah, I mean, Wasps can't hold on to the ball. If they hold, they look far more dangerous with ball in hand than Exeter, providing they could hold on to it. And they just couldn't. They managed to hold on to it twice and they scored two tries. Tell me this then. Do you think Exeter, I mean, Phil spoke about this last night, do you think that they tightened up deliberately in the second half more than the first?
I think it, I just felt it was not a criticism, but I just felt that they reined it in a little bit from the way they normally play, because they figured that actually don't give Wasps the ball and you negate them quite a lot. So they just went for a kind of possession, whereas I think they'd attack a little bit more with a little bit more flair and a little bit more invention earlier. They just didn't bother doing that generally. I think that was the way they approached the game, which was demonstrated by the fact they selected Devoto at 12 and left Slade on the bench.
I think Devoto's a better player. I think that's why they picked him. Devoto was class.
Devoto is a hell of a player.
Yeah.
They're both good. Certainly a couple of years ago I would have thought of them as the same type of player, but it seems like Devoto has added a little bit of physicality.
Yeah.
He can offer that more direct running.
Yeah, Devoto can do all the kind of Henry Sladey things, like the throwing of the ball and, you know, the clever chips. But you're right, he's got that bigger frame and he uses it now.
He does use it. I think you're right though, Tim. I think it comes down to risk and reward. So Exeter know that certainly against most teams in the league they can attack from almost anywhere and they're likely to score.
Yeah.
The problem is if you try and attack from anywhere against Wasps and drop the ball, over, you're done. They turn over ball, they can score from anywhere. And you saw them, even on the halfway line, even just inside their own half, they were playing rugby. They were reluctant to kick it away because Wasps would be so dangerous. But they were playing this kind of low risk, almost one out rugby to prevent the turnover to Wasps, and that's exactly what you were saying, Tim.
Do you know what it reminded me of a little bit? And this sounds a bit silly, but they reminded me of the way that Toulon play their rugby.
Okay.
Really muscular game.
Yeah, really muscular, really simple. You know exactly what they're going to do, but you can't stop it. And I think the difference being is Toulon obviously rely a lot on star power and a lot of probably bigger runners, but where Exeter have the advantage is their clear-out game is so spectacularly good.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't talk about that enough. It's an art in itself.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of great stuff. Sorry, go on, Phil. You're going to say something. Go on.
Well, I was just going to highlight some of the individual performances through some of the statistics in the game.
Oh, some amazing stats here. Go on.
Yeah. So, top carries. Anyone want to have a guess? I think, JB, you already know this.
Yeah, I do already know it.
Not Nathan Hughes, then?
No.
Oh, we need to talk about him.
Nathan Hughes was magnificent in the first half.
And in the second half, to be fair.
Yeah. He was by far Wasps' best player in the first half.
Yep.
All right. Top carries, Don Armand.
Don Armand carried 19 times for 37 metres. He was third top. So Don Armand, 19 carries. Woodburn and Noel, both 20 carries.
Amazing.
Wow.
For 84 and 129 metres respectively. Thomas Waldrum made 37 carries for 106 yards. 37 carries is incredible.
37 carries for 106 yards. Now, I'm not going to do the maths on that, but that's not very many yards per carry, is
it? That's Jamie Roberts.
It is. It is Jamie Roberts' metres per carry. But he was only really carrying in heavy traffic,
and also from kicks.
He hardly received any kicks though.
I remember him carrying one or two.
Maybe one or two, but not many.
Probably accounted for most of his yards, so good for the rest of it.
What I can tell you about Thomas the Tank is he was one of the players that came onto the stage in the car park after the game to sort of greet the crowd and everything. And he was absolutely out on his feet. He was so tired. I just went, Thomas, you're a Premiership champion. How do you feel? And he went, knackered, mate. That's all he could muster. He led a tomahawk chop with the crowd, but he just looked like 100 minutes of rugby in that heat and that intensity. Wow.
Yeah. And another individual performance. So this guy, he made the most carries for Wasps. He made the most meters for Wasps. He made the most clean breaks for Wasps. And he made the most tackles for Wasps.
I don't know this, but I'm guessing it's Little Jimmy.
It's got to be Nathan Hughes.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy, as he's always going to be known from now on.
So most clean breaks, most meters made, most carries, and most tackles.
Right.
Okay. That is incredible.
Let's just stop here with little
got
Jimmy.
Got to be Nathan Hughes.
No, Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
All of those stats.
Wow.
Remarkable.
Now, me and Phil, again, had another one of these conversations. I'm going to step out of this. I want to hear your view on this, Tim. Phil, tell Timothy about your Cipriani thoughts.
So, I think Cipriani has been probably the weakest player in that Wasp back line. And he's almost unnecessary to have him in. Because Jimmy Gopeth is doing the work of two men. He's playing inside centre and he's also playing 10.
Mm.
I think, well, if I was Dai Young, I would be encouraging Cipriani to take a deal at Toulon or somewhere else to free up some space in my salary cap.
They could offer him back to Sale, maybe.
Something like that, perhaps. But yeah, I just think
that would be an interesting idea for Dai Young to try.
Well, I wonder if they've had contact, Cipriani and Diamond. I wonder if there's anything going on there. Anyway, watch this space. Who knows? but I disagree with Phil. I think Danny Cipriani's actually been a bit of a steady hand on the tiller. He had a nightmare against Leinster. But I think it's Danny Cipriani's discipline which is allowing Jimmy Gopeth to cut free and do everything that he's doing.
When you say his discipline, he's not actually doing anything.
Well, that's a discipline in its own right.
True. That's one way of describing it.
No, I think you're doing him a bit of a disservice there. I think he is freeing up Jimmy Gopeth to do all the things that he's doing. But, yeah, I mean, let's not take away from Jimmy Gopeth.
No, you're always going to get moments from Danny Cipriani where he does a blinding break or a brilliant little chip. You're always going to get those moments. But I'm inclined to be, I'm going to take a very Phil position and be somewhere in the middle. I know exactly what Phil's talking about. And actually, yeah, if you could have a really good 12, I don't see a place for Sippers in that side.
That would be my caveat. You need a good 12.
Let me throw this in the mix. Isn't Jimmy Gopeth the league's best 12 anyway?
He's the league's best 12 and the best 10, and possibly the best 13 and maybe 15. he's been the best player every single game he's played.
Good old little Jimmy. Now apparently he can't play for England because it sounds like an under-16s appearance or under-18s
under
appearance.
20 is right, okay.
Yeah, something like that. So they can't have him for the Lions or for England, which is a shame because I'd like to see him get a senior cap.
Yeah, it's passed him by, unfortunately.
Caps aren't like cub badges you get for like doing something good. I'm always amazed that the nationality part of getting a national cap is of no consequence to you, JB.
No, none. I'll tell you what, though. There is a guy who takes his nationality very seriously, and he has had it almost as a badge of honour, and that's Phil Dolman, and I can't wait for him to get his first cap.
Well, he's not going to now. He's injured. He's been replaced by Rhys Patchell.
Oh, is that official?
Yeah.
Oh, how devastating.
I know.
I saw him go off. It didn't look that bad, but obviously it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gutted. Such a shame.
Because that was his one chance to pick up a cap, you feel.
Yeah. I think Ireland should do the right thing and cap Steenson.
I know.
I mean, that is simply the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, just purely for the, even if it's just the, just saying that stand down Johnny for one, because he deserves a cap, and then it's back to business as normal.
Well, are they taking, who are they taking this year on tour? Is it Madigan? Is Madigan going, or?
I don't think Madigan's going, but Jackson, Paddy Jackson and Carberry are definitely
Carberry,
going.
Carberry, that's the one.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe if a fly half goes down in the Ireland tour, or if a fly half goes down in the Lions tour, he might get a call up. It's hard to see, isn't it?
What a giant pair of clackers Gareth Steenson has got.
Love him. Absolutely, yeah. Love him.
Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
So lovely. Like, he said that he was thinking of his late father just before he took that kick. There was a brilliant scene of him putting his child in the Aviva Premiership trophy. And there's no one really that kind of characterises. Only, well, Rob Baxter and Gareth Steenson. Which one of those two, if you were going to make a Hollywood movie out of Exeter Chiefs story, who would be the main character? Because it would be a toss-up between Rob Baxter and Gareth Steenson for me.
Oh, it's Baxter, surely.
I think Baxter. Who would play them?
Good question. Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Rob Baxter.
No, I reckon Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Gareth Steenson. Can you imagine how stupid that would be? Trying to teach The Rock basic rugby skills.
Well, Gareth Steenson looks a little bit like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's not a bad shot for Steenson.
Yeah.
I was thinking Dolph Lundgren for Baxter.
And who's that, the massive Marvel character could play Mitch Lees? What's that? I can't remember which one it is.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know exactly who you mean, but Incredibles.
Whoever.
Do you mean Juggernaut from from the Marvel films?
Hang on, isn't Juggernaut in X-Men, isn't that Vinny Jones?
I think he does play him at some point.
We're not having Vinny Jones as Mitch Lees, you can forget that.
Cudmore brother play? He plays
Mitch Lees.
Yeah.
Colossus. There you go. Yeah, so Exeter to the Chiefs the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, Zac Efron could be Henry Slade.
Like it?
Yeah.
I would go with a cast with only WWE stars. Make sure that the acting is of a nice high quality and the physiques are roughly equivalent.
Triple H as Harry Williams.
Exactly.
Same hair.
Old school Triple H.
Not current Triple H. Yeah.
Who'd Stone Cold be? Is there any bald men in that?
Yeah, Yandel.
Jack Yandel is Stone Cold.
They'd have to work on the West Country accents. That would be fun to watch.
Jack Noel could be Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean character.
That's a very good shout.
Yeah.
That is a very, very good shout. So, shall we move on to... Actually, I've got some very, very important news regarding a team that didn't play yesterday. Do you want to hear it?
It depends which team it is. I need to get the bell ready?
No, you don't.
Okay.
But before that, maybe Tim could talk about Cornerstone.
I would love to talk about Cornerstone. They are a mail order razor company, and in our humble opinion, and in the opinion of many, many, many egg chasers who are joining us on the Cornerstone train, we've heard about the Slade train. Get on the Cornerstone train.
Sorry, Tim. Because... I'm going to have to interrupt you. Because I've just had a thought. I'm going to ask everyone not to buy a Cornerstone razor this week, if that's okay with you.
Why is that?
Because if you were thinking of buying a Cornerstone razor, I want you to consider to do something else. I forgot to mention this last week, but I'll mention it this week. Have you heard of a guy called Billy Woof?
Yes.
I have, yeah.
So I'll just fill the listeners into who Billy Woof is. Billy Woof plays a couple of leagues above myself. For Birkenhead Park. And a few weeks ago, unfortunately, he was playing against, I can't remember who it was, I think it's Penrith in a playoff final, dislocated his knee, and due to complications has had to have his lower leg amputated, which is absolutely horrendous. And it's kind of struck a chord with me, because it could literally be anyone that plays the game at an amateur level, or even a semi-pro level. I know most of our listeners are around that level. So if you were considering buying a Cornerstone razor, I'd ask you kindly not to do that, but actually to go to his Just Giving page. Because I think it's things like this which can make a real difference. So if you go and have a look for Billy Woof on Just Giving. Give it a quick Google.
Maybe
for this week, put your cornerstone money there.
I think that's a very, very good thing to do. It's
So Billy Woof, justgiving.com, all the details there. I think we tweeted about it as well, so go and find out on there if you have any trouble. I would also point out, not wanting to, don't choose, if you're choosing one or the other.
Choose both. By all means, choose both.
Absolutely. If £4 to try out a Cornerstone Razor is beyond your means this week, put all your everything into Billy Woof. But I'll just let you know anyway, the Cornerstone is without any question the best razor on the market. And because you listen to us, for just £4, which is less than a price of a pint, and it's probably about the same as a packet of pork scratchings at Twickenham, then all you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkouts.
And you will get delivered to you a free aluminium engraved cornerstone shaft in a presentation box with 6 beautiful razors. And you can get what we believe and what many, many egg chasers also are getting on board with us and believing is the best razor out there.
Yes, quite. Now, there wasn't just one final this weekend, was there, chaps?
There certainly wasn't.
So I did a little bit of music for the Chiefs. There you go. Congratulations, of course, to Llanelli Scarlets, who did what we thought was the, undoable? Is that the impossible?
Yeah.
The impossible.
To go to Dublin twice, play 2 Irish teams back-to-back, and 2 comfortable victories.
It's absolutely incredible. We had someone on Twitter contact us and say, actually, this was an even more impressive victory than Connacht, which I don't believe it was, actually, but that's what they say, because actually they spend even less money than Connacht do.
Wow.
It was... did you get to see the whole game?
Yes.
Did you see the whole game, Tim? I think Tim's gone. Hello, Tim? Anyway, I'll just stop us getting interrupted.
You can talk about whatever you want now, JB.
Yeah. So did you watch Sale Sharks on the weekend? this is quite a special team, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but I was watching the game, and it reminded me of a training game that you'd play, you know, during mid-season, where you only allowed one defender in the wide channels, and Munster were that team.
Yeah, that was what was probably most startling for me, was particularly in that first half, just how easy it was for Scarlets to get the overlap. Because Munster seemed to be defending with all their back three in the deep. So they had a constant overlap. It felt like it was some brilliant play from Scarlets, but also Munster, as if they'd never watched Scarlets play. They'd never watched them play at all, and they didn't know how to defend.
Yeah, so I watch quite a lot of rugby, and if I see something I'm really interested in, I'll fast forward it. Sorry, I'll rewind it, fast forward again, and work out what they're doing. I can't really work out how Scarlets are doing this.
It seemed to me to be very simple hands, done very well at pace, and including forwards in the line. But then the wider men, so JD, McNichol, Steph Evans, Liam Williams, just injecting pace at the end. But they were allowed, it felt like they were allowed to do it, because Munster... their defence wasn't set up to deal with it.
I completely agree. But I can't understand how they weren't set up to deal with it. Because it looked like an absolute rerun of the Leinster game.
Yeah, yeah. And I've only seen Scarlets a handful of times this year, but they have not just played like that for the last 2 games. There must be an enormous amount of game tape on them doing exactly that.
Yeah. What does Fox... James Cubby Boy Davis needs to do to get where I was called up. I know it's almost like a cliche now.
It is. He was very good, wasn't he?
He plays on the wing. He plays in the centre. He turned over everything.
Yeah.
He's not very big. Other than that, he's very, very good.
Yeah. He's playing in a very good back row, though. A very well-drilled, very, very good pack. very well organised, well drilled pack. And you've got him and Barkley, who are both kind of... Barkley's got eight on his back, but he's not really seven-ish. A true eight, yeah.
Do you know what? I spoke about Cubby Boy then. I thought Shingler was magnificent. He's been so good. I mean, apparently he's out of contract.
Really?
Apparently he's either out of contract or he's in the last year of his contract next year, because the commentators kept on saying the first thing they should do is send that boy a new contract.
Yeah.
And they should immediately send that boy a new contract.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this game, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had some Lions watch in this game.
Okay, so the Lions are...
So, Liam Williams.
Yep.
Fox Davis.
Yep.
And Connor Murray. And Stander and Omani. I kind of felt that none of those boys had a great game.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that there's not a single Lions halfback with a trophy this year.
Owen Farrell.
Yeah, but if he plays 12,
yep,
that kind of is technically correct, I guess. because the others, they've all lost. They've all gone home empty-handed.
Yeah, including Laidlaw, who was in a final. Conor Murray, who was in a final.
Yep, I mean, and that's actually the worst of all worlds, isn't it? You have to play the final and then lose.
So you get all those extra miles under the belt, all the extra bruises and bumps.
Exactly. If someone goes down now, scrum half or centre, you've got to assume, haven't you, that the Scarlets nine, Gareth Davis, must be in contention.
Yeah.
And Scott Williams, has he done enough to change your opinion?
Scott Williams can't be far off as a 12. I mean, who are the other options as 12s?
Well, they're pretty limited anyway.
Because England don't have one. Well, England have got Farrell, who's already called up.
Mm-hmm.
Dunbar, you'd suggest Scott Williams is ahead of Dunbar.
Yep.
Henshaw.
Yeah, completely agreed.
Or the Doctor. Scott Williams has got to be ahead of the Doctor.
Oh, I'll tell you someone who I didn't think played well.
Please.
Yeah, so he's obviously a very good player and people have been speaking about him. Hang on, we've got to stop because Tim has sent us a message.
Ooh.
And it says, stop. Let's see what Tim says. Hang on, Facebook Live. You can see how the sausage is made.
How weird.
And Tim's back. Tim, I can tell you what happened then. Do you want to know the technical ins and outs of podcasting?
Yeah, go on.
I played the Scarlets theme tune, and then I faded it all the way down, but I forgot that you're coming in on the same line, so I just faded you down. So I've been playing with this for God knows how long, trying to get you back, but here we are.
Great stuff.
Sorry, mate.
No.
I'll just finish off by saying...
I was listening all the time, and a few things I'll pick up on.
Oh, yep. God, here you
like,
go.
Like, we've got the latest bandwagon based on two games of Scarlets Rugby JB's ever seen. Suddenly, he's now...
I've seen two and a half
what
games.
What has Cubby Boy got to do to get a cap?
Did I not clarify that last week? Which is, that is not my view. That is the view of the fans.
Okay. Well, you said it like it was your own view.
Yeah, because I've appropriated it. That's what I've done. It's now my view.
Like Exeter appropriated Native American.
Exactly right. I've appropriated. Now I've also appropriated something else, Tim.
Go on.
And I'll tell you after I finish talking about Francis Saili, who I thought was pretty rubbish. Actually,
he didn't have a great game. I think it is a bit unfair to single just him out.
Well, do you know what I think it is? I think he's so good with ball in hand and such a good runner. They relied on him too much. So it's like, just give Saili the ball and hopefully we'll score. There was no creative kind of prowess. It was literally just that. So it was easy to deal with and made him look bad.
Well, do you know what probably the most disappointing thing from a Munster perspective is? They made a couple of breaks. Saili made one, Earls made one, Conor Murray made one.
Yep.
They broke through the first line of defence and there was no one in support.
Mm.
Not a single player in support. The whole of the rest of the team kind of looked astonished that they've even made a break.
Yeah.
And they were the kind of things that could have brought them back into the game.
I can't believe how... Is it fair to say Munster were bad?
Yeah, I think it is fair.
Tim?
Oh, completely. I mean, I will caveat this by saying I was so mentally exhausted after the Exeter game that I didn't pay as nearly as much attention to the Pro 12 final because I was just absolutely battered. But
you were working, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we were working.
It was a long day as well.
We were watching the game. That's what we do.
True.
That is work.
That is work.
Now, I told you I'd appropriated something. This is going to be a bit of a waste because this is more for Tim's benefit than anyone else's. But when finding some music for this segment, finding the Saucepan music, right? I had to go on YouTube and I found this.
So Tim's not going to be able to hear this.
But Phil can.
Okay.
So this is the Scarlet's hymn, which I found on YouTube. I'll turn it up a bit for you. Amazing.
What? What is this?
What is this?
This is like 90s Europop mixed with a Welsh male voice choir singing a Scarlet's hymn.
What we're listening to, Tim, is what we're listening to is a dance music version of that hymn.
That's very South,
aren't you? Do you want to turn Tim back up? Or is Tim
Sorry, I've turned Tim down again. Sorry, Tim.
Stop the music. Turn Tim up.
I don't know how to stop it. It's my life of its own. There we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, hang on, it's just going to start again now. I don't know how to stop this. There you go, stopped it. Yeah. It's incredible. There's that. There's the Caris Matthews version of it. There's loads of school children singing it. You can't actually get a good version of that hymn.
Do you know when that version was made?
I'm guessing 90s? I don't know.
Yeah, it feels 90s, but I've got a sneaking suspicion it might be quite a lot more recent than that.
I think it was played and performed by the people that originally wrote My Lovely Horse. I think it's off the same album, actually.
I think you're right.
Tim, I wish you could hear that. You'd love it.
Oh, I can't wait to listen back to the podcast. but by the way, just a quick reminder, subscribe to the podcast because it's the Lions season is coming and we're going to be starting our Lions podcasts later this week with a proper preview of the first game and of the tour in general. And then we'll be doing loads of extra podcasts. So just get subscribed and they'll all get delivered straight to you. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. I can't wait.
There's a few other things I want to share with you from finals day.
Okay,
go on.
Well, firstly, I had so much fun following Exeter Chiefs players on Instagram, doing their Instagram stories. Henry Slade was a proper lad. He was just doing loads of videos of, and Instagram stories means they disappear after 24 hours, but just loads of stuff on the bus. Exeter did let Sara Elgan and a cameraman onto the bus for some of the homeward bound journey. As far as Reading they went, and apparently it was wild. But I think you'd be safe, Reading. By the time anyone got to Swindon, I think it'd be game over. they were having a great time. Sam Burgess messaged Henry Slade and just said, "Well done, Sladey. Naked bus." Slade's response was, "Does a bear shit in the woods?" I think there's going to be lots of, bearing in mind there was a cameraman on the journey home, there's going to be some good footage coming out of BT Sport soon. The other thing I wanted to let you in on is that obviously that was the last game for the BT Sport team, so they had like wrap drinks in the car park by the TV compound, and loads of referees came to join and have a drink. So JP Doyle was there, who let the boys play. Wayne Barnes came along with his family. He wasn't involved for the first time in a decade. There were a bunch of other refs. They cleaned everyone out of booze. they were like a swarm of locusts. They were in, knocked back a load of booze, and then buggered off.
Who was this, Tim? The refs.
The refs.
Refs love free booze.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
I can imagine, Doyle's though. Do you know son. When... Have you ever played against the police force at rugby?
I haven't, no.
I have. And they might be the most violent group of people ever to play rugby, because I think they're just letting off steam.
Yeah.
But if you play against the police, you're going to get punched, and that probably pepper sprayed too. So I kind of think it's probably the same with the referees. Like as soon as the match, the season's over, they just let loose.
Yeah.
Drink everyone out of house and home. probably, you know, a few offensive slurs to people, start fights.
So there was a table with all the booze set up, and fair play, he was a top lad. JP Doyle's son was like playing barman, and basically, if you put your beer down for a second, had a couple of sips out of it, he'd pick it up and whose is this? If no one claimed it straight away, he'd just tip it away.
Good lad. Love it.
He wanted the empties.
Good for him.
So there was lots of fun games. Wayne Barnes was having a very good night with his wife, and he seems like a really good fella. But I won't say anymore because that's not my place to.
Exactly. Well, good on them. Well deserved, and they've had a good season too. So
yeah, they have.
I'll tell you what I have prepared as a little maybe segue into whatever's next, whether it's more chat about those games or something else. Because we're getting near to a general election, I have prepared an election 15, which I'd love to run through.
Go on, go for it, and then we'll do the quiz.
All right, and then I'd love to invite anyone that thinks I've got this wrong or yourselves to tell me what you think. So my election 15 is Loosehead prop, Diane Abbott.
Wrong, next.
I worry about her remembering numbers for line-out calls. Hooker, Jeffrey Archer, he's very at ease.
Good with the arrows.
Very, very at ease going up with going up against hookers.
Hey, hang on, are you sure that's Jeffrey Archer? Have you got the wrong scandal?
I wasn't talking about a scandal, JB. I was talking about rugby. I've no
right,
idea.
Right, okay.
Tight head prop, John Prescott.
No, wrong. So
second rows, Gordon Brown and David Davis.
Okay.
Six, Jeremy Hunt. Like, blindsides are generally hated by opponents, and they do a lot of unseen work, whether that's tackling, rucking, or an alleged
Jeremy Hunt,
corrupt deal with Rupert Murdoch.
Sixes tend to engage with their opposition, whereas Jeremy Hunt wouldn't. So maybe not a great example there, Tim.
Okay, seven, Tony Blair, because he's happy to push the laws to the very limit. And like the great Richie, he has been known to go too far and still not be punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, Keith Vaz?
Yeah,
like many great number eights, he has a nose for the white line.
Are you sure you got the right guy?
Keith Vaz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nine, Emily Thornberry. 10, Ed Miliband. Great distribution skills, which mainly is...
No, redistribution skills, mate.
Yeah, mainly votes to other political parties, but that hints he could be successful as a top-class fly half. Left wing, Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
Although one point to make, not very strong on defence.
Hey, perfect 12, for the wing.
12, Boris Johnson, crash ball centre.
Yeah.
We saw his destructive defence in that soccer aid match.
Yep.
And in attack, he'd run through any opponent, even if it was a small child.
Japanese schoolboy.
He deserved it. He deserved it.
13. Now, 13s often have an outside break. And at the first opportunity, this politician would cut and run, David Cameron.
Okay.
And he can also be social secretary. He's a big fan of initiation ceremonies.
Yes, he is.
14, right wing, Margaret Thatcher.
No.
And 15, fullback, brilliant at retreating and completely changing position from one play to the next, Theresa May.
See, this is where you're wrong, mate. Tight head prop, of course, is Margaret Thatcher. The lady's not for turning. And... on the other side is going to be Theresa May, because you need a strong and stable platform. And also, Keith Vaz is clearly the hooker, because of course, how else can you protect your ears unless it's with Vaz?
Nice.
Oh dear.
There we go. That's high quality banter you don't get anywhere else for good reason.
Too right. Yes, absolutely. Right, Phil, you've prepared a quiz.
I have prepared a quiz.
Fire away, mate.
So. Pens and paper at the ready.
Okay. Google it. I mean, pens and paper at the ready, yeah.
Tim, I trust you, and I've got my BDI on JB.
Whatever.
So, first question. Very simple. Name the two hookers who played for England yesterday against the Barbarians.
God damn it.
So we'll run through all the questions and then run back.
Okay.
Second question. Which year did the Italian teams first join the Pro 12?
Okay. Yes, that's fine.
Question 3. who is the main shirt sponsor of Glasgow Warriors, or who was this last season?
Okay.
Go on then.
Next question. Before Avicii and before Guinness, there were three historical sponsors of the English Premiership. What were they?
Hang on. So, we've got the Hookers. We've got
Hookers, Italian teams in the Pro 12.
Yep.
Glasgow Warriors shirt sponsor.
Yeah, okay.
The three historical sponsors of the Avicii prior to Guinness and Avicii.
Guinness.
Oh. We're never going to get sponsored by Aviva on this podcast.
But we might get sponsored by
Avicii.
By a Swedish house DJ.
Which arguably has better benefits than being sponsored by an insurer.
Quite possibly.
Okay. Next question. Where is this year's Under-20s World Cup going to be played? It starts this week, actually.
Yeah,
I've got that one.
And which former Irish star's son has been named in the France Under-20s World Cup squad?
Ooh, that's interesting.
France. Okay. Easy. Done.
Okay.
Although I can't remember his name, but I know who I want to say.
Easy.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, got it. Oh, I am walking away with this. Go on, next one.
Final question.
I don't feel good about this one.
Final question, and there are 10 points available for this.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to tell you the surname of a rugby player.
Yep.
I need you guys to tell me the first name and which club they play for.
Easy.
So it's unique surnames.
Yep.
I want the first name.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the club.
You got 10 of them.
Okay.
No, we got 5 of them. Yeah. But there's the 2 points for each. Okay. So, first one, Landman.
Are these players from anywhere?
From all over the world.
Yeah.
But they have unique surnames. Or I believe they're unique surnames.
I think I know this one.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So, Landman. Tell me his first name and his club. And these are all top level rugby players. I'm not giving you tier 7 rugby players.
Yeah, like the good old days when we used to do 15s. Yeah. When 15s used to be fun.
Who was the one that you got?
Max Pepper.
Max Pepper.
Yeah.
Who's like a schoolboy.
Yeah, it turns out that his dad is actually like housemaster at Ampleforth or somewhere.
Okay, second one. Pyrgos.
No.
Pyrgos.
Okay, played with his brother.
Did you?
Yep.
So, first name and club. Number 3. Slimani.
Oh, yes.
First name's a little bit tricky.
Slimani.
Okay.
Part of that very cute
Chucky.
Chucky. Ouini.
Ouini. No, bless.
Camille the Cat. Such a cute French front row.
He's massive as well.
No, they're all massive.
Yeah, but he looks frighteningly massive. He's quite muscular.
Actually, Slimani's actually relatively small for a tight head prop.
Go on, next one.
Next one. Giraldini. Giraldini, first name and club.
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, Combrink.
Oh, what's that one?
Don't worry, mate. I've got it. So if you need something, I can tell you later.
Combrink, spelt comb, Combrink.
Do we get 1 point if we get one of them right?
Yeah. So there's 10 points available. If you get the first name, not the club, or the club, not the first name,
stacks up.
Everyone ready?
Yes.
Hold on.
Any questions to be repeated?
Yes. No. We'll be fine.
No. We'll manage. Oh, what is it?
Okay, Jay, can you just flash your answers in front of me and then we'll get Tim to read out first, okay?
Yeah, there you go. There's my answers.
Yeah.
So, fire away.
So, Tim, you all ready?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
First question, the two hookers. Tim?
It was Jack Singleton, and I'm guessing the second one, Tom Dunn.
So, JB,
I've only got Jack Singleton.
So, Jack Singleton is correct. Let me just get my scoring chart up. So both 1 point. The other one was George McGuigan.
Next one.
Italian teams, what year?
2007.
Tim?
2009, I guessed.
Tim was closer. It's actually 2010.
Oh, well, no one gets it. Next.
No points. Next one, Glasgow Warriors main shirt sponsor, Tim?
BT Sport.
Oh, it is. I said Malcolm.
Malcolm's on the back. BT Sport is on the front. 2-1 to Tim.
No.
Okay. Historical English Premiership sponsors. Before Guinness, it was...
Zurich.
Tim?
Zurich.
Is correct. Before that...
I don't have to get them necessarily in order.
Okay,
well, Courage is one of the ones. I know that was like, was that the very first one?
And no, it's Courage League. I thought it was Tetley.
Tetley is incorrect. Oh. Courage Brewery is correct.
Oh no!
My other guess was Tetley Bitter, so we know that's wrong.
And the last one is NPI.
Incorrect.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who was the other one?
Allied Dunbar.
Oh, no. Yeah. Allied Dunbar bought NPI. Oh, the pain.
So, we're currently 4-2 to Tim. Next question. Under-20s World Cup, JB?
Georgia
is correct. 1 point each. And the former Irish rugby star's son.
Uh-huh.
Who was the rugby player?
Tim?
I've absolutely no idea, so I just guessed Tyrone Howe. Don't know.
Is incorrect.
T. Bren
is.
Oh yeah.
Is correct.
Yes.
Well done.
So we're currently 5-4 going into the last question.
Woo!
And that's Trevor Brennan, by the way, for anyone that's
Anyone knows who T. Bren is.
Trevor Brennan, whose son is signed up for Toulouse as well. His 19-year-old son.
So it's a 1 point game.
1 point game going into the last question. So, Landman.
No idea.
Anyone have a first name or a club?
I'm pretty sure he has played for. I don't know if he's still playing for Newport Gwent Dragons.
Oh no! That's
you can't guess it now. I've given that.
Yeah. No, I think isn't it right?
You can't. It's too late now, JB. And I know the first name begins with R, but I
ruin.
It sounds South African.
Is it Landman?
It's an R, but I don't know. But Newport Gwent Dragons is what I went for.
So
I don't know the name.
Tim, you have 1 point. Dragons is correct. And first name is Reinhard. So
Reinhard Lamb, yeah.
You were close.
Damn it.
Locke, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like Brim Williams.
Okay. Next one. Paragos. However you pronounce it.
Henry from Glasgow.
Glasgow.
Is correct.
God damn it, I'm going to lose this.
Makes it 8-6.
I don't know about that, mate.
Okay, third one. Slimani.
Stad?
Tim? Stad Francais. Is... I don't know the first name.
I was going for like Matthew, spelled the French way.
You both get 1 point. It's Rabah.
Oh, right.
R-A-B-A-H.
So is it a one-point game currently?
It's a two-point game still with 4 points to play for. So, Giraldini.
Now, I can't remember if this is the guy from Leicester.
Definitely know the team.
Okay. Jay, do you want to go for...
If it's a guy from Wasps, he went to Treviso and back to Wasps. So, Leonardo Giraldini?
And so you're saying Leonardo and what club?
Treviso, but he's loaned back to Wasps this season.
Okay, Tim, any re-raise on Leonardo and Treviso?
I think you're right about Leonardo, but I didn't write it down, so I won't cheat. But he went to Toulon this year, I believe.
Oh, Tim, he didn't go to Toulon. He went to Toulouse from Leicester.
Oh, no.
Oh, so who am I thinking of? The other Italian?
Cittadini.
Cittadini.
You're thinking of.
No, but he definitely was at Leicester.
He was at Leicester. He definitely was at Leicester.
So there's 1 point in this now, yeah?
There is 1 point with the final question, which is Combrink. Anything from you, Tim? Jay, can I see your phone?
You may.
Okay.
I'm going to have to... I know the name. I don't know the team.
So it's 1 point game. Give me the name.
Ruin.
Okay. And JB, I can confirm you also said Ruin.
Yeah, I did.
And what I've got written down is Sharks.
And I can tell you the Sharks is incorrect.
Yes, it's the Lions.
Which means it's 10 all.
Oh, let's leave it there. Just like the Premiership final. It should have been left at a draw.
No place-kicking competition for this one?
Not for me.
Did you read the rules of the place-kicking competition?
Yeah. Have you seen the new rules, Tim?
Yeah, I did feel, as we were getting through extra time, I was looking at them thinking, I don't know how Nick Mullins would have explained those succinctly to people that had never heard of them before.
Yeah, they're a little bit complicated. I was kind of wanting to see it just for the... It would be horrible to see a team lose like that, but to see how it actually worked.
Yeah.
So each team nominate three kickers, and then each one takes a shot from different positions. So you had 15 metres out... 22 metres out dead in front, then 22 metres out 15 metres from each touchline, then 40 metres out dead in front, and then 40 metres out from each touchline.
So I was thinking about how I'd explain it, and I'd say that each team would pick a player to kick from the right side, a player to kick from the left side, and a player to kick central.
Yeah.
I tell them to
shut... And then it moves backwards.
Yeah.
In difficulty. So you would have picked, if you were Wasps, you would have had Sippers kicking from his left foot from the right side, Jimmy Gopper kicking off his right foot from the left side, and then...
Elliot Daly. Not short on options, are they, Wasps?
Yeah. They had good options, whereas Exeter, because they'd taken off Devoto.
Yeah.
So they bought on Slade.
They had Slade and Steenson, but they didn't have another...
Slade's a lefty.
They didn't have another natural kicker, though.
Who would be the
Slade,
guy?
Slade, Steenson, and...
Who was playing fullback for them at the end?
Dolman. Dollars went off, so it was... Noel.
Yeah.
So who's on the other wing?
Short, wasn't it?
No, Short wasn't. Campagnaro.
Yeah, Campagnaro.
Campagnaro. I think I would have backed...
Witten?
Maybe, but I think I would have backed Wasps to have come through that.
Yeah, completely agree.
Although, the pressure on Sippers is probably not a great place to be.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to watch. I'm glad I didn't do that for them.
It'd be fascinating as a neutral to be one of the teams and to have to lose like that, like Cardiff did against Leicester a few years ago when Nugget Martin Williams missed the kick.
And so, but people forget this. I'm sure someone else missed the kick as well. Tom James missed the kick too.
Did it?
Yeah, but...
I just think all 15 players that were on the field have to kick.
Yeah.
That would be fun. String it right out.
And then just toss up the score at the end.
Yeah.
Watching people who've never kicked before is not pretty.
In fact, what it should be is the opposition pick the kickers for the other team.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well,
who would you pick? You'd just go front row, wouldn't you, really? Or the props, anyway.
Well, you would, but what if you're playing, Sale? A few years ago, and Cobblash was playing.
Cobblash, yeah.
So I wouldn't pick the props, because props often, they don't... from my experience, they don't necessarily like a warm-up. They like practicing their place kicking.
That's a good point.
I would pick someone who's a real like line-out technician, someone like Jeff Parlin.
Someone who just can't control his feet properly.
Well, there is no way that Jeff Parlin will waste any time that he's on a rugby field. He will be practicing line-outs, he'll be practicing hitting rooks, he'll be running through his line-out drills or studying the opposition.
Haskell, I'd pick Haskell to kick.
Oh, I'd pick Haskell, definitely.
Maybe Haskell.
Who else would I pick? Kicking wasps. Nathan Hughes, I can't imagine kicking.
Yeah, I'd pick people can do that are all about the big body movements, not about the fine motor skills. So that's Haskell to a T, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's time to look at what New Zealand are offering the Lions.
Hey, what's happening, bro?
It's business time.
Business time.
This week's instalment of What's Happening, Bro? Say about the meeting.
Hey, what's happening, bro?
Where Phil, because we're too lazy, tells us about the All Blacks team. So, what do we have?
I'd like to bring one thing to the table here.
Oh.
And that is one thing that the Kiwis have been doing over the last week or two is bringing mind games to the table.
Ooh. And
they did it last week. We're going to get this. The media is going to be trying to be the 16th man. And we got this with Jimmy, them having a pop at Jimmy Gopper.
Little Jimmy.
Jimmy, because he won the Player of the Year, won everything at the Premiership Awards. They're saying, a guy that just couldn't even get a look in is the best player they've got in England. That doesn't bode very well for the Lions. Well, now they're saying that Billy Vunipola, him leaving the tour, has ended any chances of the Lions. That was he was their chance in one player. And also, get this. This is one article from... Again, I almost don't want to give them exposure because they are an odious publication. But
No. It's just opinion, Tim. Everyone, and actually, they probably make some pretty decent points. You don't like it, but they do make some good points.
Which one are you referring to, Tim?
So this is a quote from the newspaper about this Billy Vunipola story saying how that's it, chance gone. But they go on to say... It's a crying shame for the Lions and for New Zealanders who want to see the best playing each other. It's an indictment of Saracens who have pushed Vunipola too far at the expense of the Lions and now selfishly want him repaired. Yeah. It's an indictment of the greedy English Premiership, and they use a B word there. Owners who recently pushed for an 11-month season causing player revolt. It's an indictment of modern rugby, which involves far too much bash. And perhaps it's an indictment of Vunipola himself. You feel he may not properly get the Lions. You feel his loyalties are with Saracens, who he calls such an amazing bunch of guys. Wow. By not even flying to Ireland to let Lions medical staff assess him, Vunipola has shown the Lions disrespect.
Did you write that?
That is what's waiting for the Lions in New Zealand. That's the local press. That's how they write about the Lions.
Well, okay. Which bit do you disagree with, Tim?
All of it.
Yeah, I'm finding it difficult to agree with any of it.
Here's the thing, right? Everything's got a grain of truth in. So, although the articles are maybe a little unnecessarily aggressive or nasty in their tone, you know, they do have a good point about Jimmy Gopperth not having a sniff in New Zealand. I mean, that is a perfectly valid thing to say. Do you not agree?
We covered that last week.
Okay.
Yeah, you can say, it's quite interesting. A guy that we overlooked is the best player in England. But what they've said is, the way they framed it was, look, a guy that's nowhere near ever been good enough to be an All Black is the best that they've got. How sad.
Like I say, the way that they've written about it isn't great. Let me put it another way, which is when they say they didn't even let him be examined by the Lions staff. I can see that being a little bit disrespectful.
So you'd fly Billy Vunipola to Ireland to confirm that he has, say, ankle ligament damage or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's his shoulder, isn't
it? If the Lions doctors wanted to see him, maybe.
Well, no.
Or I'd fly the doctor over to him.
Why is the problem with Billy Vunipola, the injured man, not travelling? Why is it not... Lions doctor, get over to St Albans?
I would imagine the reason it wouldn't be is because the Lions squad were all together in Ireland last week.
But the Lions squad have had a leaving dinner in London this week.
So are they back again?
Because they
were in Ireland last week.
They're flying today, Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah, out of Heathrow. They're flying. So
yeah, so when Billy was going to get examined, he would have had to go to Ireland because that's where the Lions squad were.
Take the doctors over here.
Yeah, but what if the doctors are needed over there with the other 30 players? I mean, that does make sense. I don't think that's...
Or we start from a position where if there was any possibility of Billy Vunipola going on a Lions tour, he would go on a Lions tour.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's not is nothing other than really, really disappointing for him.
Maybe he just doesn't get it, though.
And when the doctors say, oh, I'm sorry, you've done your shoulder, and you can see the scans... That there's no conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a feeling this is an open and shut case that doesn't need a second opinion.
I wouldn't worry about it. I do agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah. I guess it's their take on things, and it is good to stoke the fires a bit. I mean, they're not going to need to, because I think the Lions are going to get absolutely trounced. But yeah, why not? Hey,
but. What's happening in New Zealand?
Yeah, what's happening, bro?
So, it's another
week. What's happening, bro?
Another week and another two victories for New Zealand teams against Australian teams.
Shock.
So the Crusaders and the Highlanders both enjoyed more than 40-point victories against the Rebels and the Waratahs, respectively. And it has now been a full calendar year since an Australian Super Rugby team beat a Kiwi Super Rugby team.
Oh, my God.
That's embarrassing. In the overall Super Rugby table, the worst New Zealand team, the Blues, is 10 points clear of the best Australian team,
Brumbies.
So they're doing quite well, the Kiwi teams. Although it is worth saying that top of the table, although they have played a game more, is actually the Lions.
Wow.
Because they don't
have to play the Kiwi teams as much.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So the Chiefs, all of the Crusaders who are unbeaten.
Did the Kiwi teams come unstuck this week in South Africa? I think the Blues lost, didn't they?
The Blues drew against the Chiefs.
Did they draw in the end?
Yeah.
Hang on, no, wait. Who was over in South Africa this weekend?
The Canes smashed the Bulls by 40 points.
Good God.
And the Crusaders and Highlanders both played against Aussie teams.
Oh, good God. Yeah, it's going to be a massive
squad. The squad gets announced... next Monday, I think, or next Tuesday, for the tour.
We have
for the squad.
We have seen someone re-sign this week as well.
Who?
Captain Kieran Reid has re-signed till after the 2019 World Cup. And he announced
based on what I've seen, I think that Reid will start the test matches. Sam Kane will be the open side, and we were talking about the back row a couple of weeks ago. I don't think they can afford to risk someone who's not completely fit and firing, and for that reason, I think they're going to go Bristol-bound Luatua. Well, I predict he'll start the first test against the Lions.
I feel that's unlikely. I think they'll probably end up starting with Kane and Ardy. I think we saw particularly with Piatau, they don't like to, if someone's leaving, they don't like to include them. So Piatau, as soon as he signed a deal with Ulster, he was eligible for
true.
He was eligible for the Tri Nations, Summer Tours, Tri Nations or Rugby Championship and the 2015 World Cup, but they dropped him immediately. Yeah. So I think they'll go for those two, assuming that Kano and Squire are both unfit.
So just let me get this right. The Lions are leaving today, Bank Holiday Monday, out of Heathrow. They're going to be in the air for how long? 24 hours?
Something like that, yeah.
God, it's a long flight, isn't it? So then they get there. Let's just work this out. So,
they lose a further 11 hours in the time difference.
Yeah, so
you lose like 36 hours.
So say Tuesday's gone. They land, say, Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Mid-Wednesday afternoon. Then they've got to get to the hotel. They're not going to be... Surely they're not going to be out and about until, say, Thursday.
You'd hope they'd be out and about Wednesday, and they'll probably have a training session to get the flight out of their legs immediately on Wednesday.
Do you reckon, like, as soon as they land, that they'll have a training session?
I would have. It'll be a light training session, but just get the legs going, lungs going again.
Is there anywhere we can find Lions news? Not like in depth. Here's a team. Just literally, what are they doing today?
Twitter is probably as good as anywhere, and
James Haskell's Instagram.
Yes. That will be very useful.
Wow. And then their first game is
on
Saturday.
That'll just let you know that'll just let you know if Owen Farrell's annoyed or not, mainly.
He will most likely be annoyed.
Their first game is Saturday, and from what I can see, they've got 48 hours. Do you reckon they know their team before it plays? As in, before they land? They must do, mustn't they?
Yeah, I would have thought they'll only announce it on the Thursday, probably, but Gatland will know it because he knows that anyone who played in the finals will be unavailable.
Yeah. Hang on. So those lads who played in the final, the finals, yeah. Are they flying today as well?
Yeah.
That is so intense.
Yeah. So all the boys from who were in Dublin, so Liam Williams, Fox Davis, CJ Stander, Connor Murray, they all travelled to Heathrow probably yesterday.
Good God. So Jack Noll, looking at the Instagram posts from, he must be in I'm serious, he must be in hell of a way. Unless he decided not to drink with the lads. And I can't imagine he did that.
From what I saw, he did drink with the lads on the Saturday night, but then they all had a... Did you see the pictures? Tim, you will have seen this. Do you see what they were wearing on the Sunday session?
Well, they were just in Speedos, loads of them.
There was a load of them just in Speedos. There was also a load of them in what looked like extras from Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings
outfits.
Robin Hood,
I thought it was.
Well, it might have been Robin Hood, yeah. So I think Jack Noll can't have done that because last night was the leaving dinner in London, the leaving dinner for the Lions in London.
Wow, excellent. One last thing on the Lions. Stash. They've got red velvet blazers.
I knew you'd like them.
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's a really deep, deep wine red, isn't it, as well?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the velvet. Thing. Oh, well done, boys. Well done. Yeah. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what team they put out. And I'd love to know when they picked it, whether it is in this camp before they flew out or when they land. It's like, oh, shit, we need to pick a team.
You'd hope they will have thought ahead. Because
we have talked about some positions, but the depth of this Kiwi squad is outrageous.
Yes.
I don't even think you've come close to describing how good the depth is in this Kiwi squad, Tim.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's just ridiculous that Sonny Bill Williams had a really good game for the Blues. He's playing himself into a bit of form, some filthy offloads after breaking the gain line and stuff. And I'm starting to wonder, I'm going, oh, I don't know, maybe it'll be Crotty and Sonny Bill. And then you've got Leonard Brown, who's awesome. Oh, I just, oh,
yeah.
Man. Embarrassment.
Yeah, Lua Mappi and Fekitoa and Vince Arso.
Could they just play a team of centres? of world-class centres.
They play a really good back line of centres.
Yeah. Your 10th choice centre would probably be pushing for a position in the Lions squad.
Yeah, is Saili New Zealander?
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be absolutely brutal, this tour.
So next week, when the teams are announced, or the New Zealand squad is announced, I think we'll be looking at the halfback positions in the next episode of What's Happening, Brew.
Yeah, there's some things to watch out for the Lions. We'll do this in the preview later on this week in the podcast that's coming, but watch out for CJ Stander's carrying a knock, apparently, and it's not great. There's a few key players that aren't completely fit. And I think we are going to see the attritional nature of the tour, definitely. But there's one thing also I've just noticed popping up on Twitter and might be worth checking out. It could be one to play us out, boys, potentially, is at the Roundhouse for the farewell dinner, the Lions squad all performed Fields of Athenry.
Ooh, that sounds awkward.
Awkward?
Yeah.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Well, they got the players to stand up and sing.
Yeah, they all sang.
Ooh, I'm not sure about that.
Rugby players love a sing song.
They do.
You love a sing song.
I love a sing song. I never do it, you know, in the Roundhouse in front of people. Maybe, you know, in front of my teammates on a bus or a crowded pub, but not for you know, posterity purposes. No way.
You're such a cynic.
I can imagine how awkward that'd feel like, shuffling with my hands and stuff, and it'd be horrible. No, I wouldn't want to do that. Well, there you go. Shall we mention Leo Vegas?
I think we should.
We've completely forgotten. We should just briefly mention England v the Barbars.
Oh yeah, done, Tim.
Yes,
where Johnny May took his skills of running horizontally to new levels.
Yeah,
it really is. There should be a new statistic. Like you have meters made, defenders beaten. There should be horizontal yards just for Johnny May.
Yeah, lateral yards.
How does he get away with being a Ripper player?
Because he's so fast.
He's so fast, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's such a peculiar character. Maybe he's so peculiar, that's why it works.
Bearing in mind it was an England like under-16s team, there's some good beards on show as well, was another observation.
Well, it's cool now, isn't it, for these kids?
Coffee,
Danny Kerr.
Beard.
Danny Kerr's got rid of the high and tight haircut.
Yeah.
Barry, what's he sporting now?
Shaved head.
Like, really shaved head. Hmm. Like, just proper shaved.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. What is the future for Danny Kerr? I mean, are you surprised that he's even involved in this game and that he's even around the England team anymore? Not because he's a bad player, he's a great player. He's been a great servant. But as looking at the Exeter team with Maunder and Townsend and there's a lot of young
Chudders.
Lads. Chudders, of course. All these lads coming through, that's just Exeter. Does Danny Kerr and those sort of boys just stand out a bit now as kind of...
No.
No?
There's a World Cup in 2 years. We want to win the World Cup.
Is Danny Kerr the best option for that?
Well, he's better than all those players you mentioned by quite some distance.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Tim on this.
I don't think he's had a great season. I don't think he's been very good when he's had his shot in the England jersey. I just wonder if it's time to move on.
I think he's still a very, very good player. I think he's still right up there. But also, you mentioned those two. There's two at Wasps who were ineligible to play. So you got five players, Maunder, Townsend, Chudley, Robson, Simpson, who would all be putting their hands up for this position.
Can I say, I think
who were all unavailable.
Townsend plays a style of rugby which is perfect for Exeter. I don't know how well he will transfer over to the international game when someone wants him to do something else, but I like him a lot.
At the moment, I know Maunder's very young, but actually, bearing in mind he started the season on the bench for Cornish Pirates, he's been great. I actually prefer him to Maunder on the strength of what I've seen. His service is a lot quicker, sharper.
I'm going to say something controversial now. Ready?
Go on.
If Exeter Chiefs have got salary cap issues, which they might do going forward, because obviously they're champions now, so they're going to have to pay their players eventually like champions. That would make sense, right?
Yes, but they do get the credits, the Academy credits and the English qualified player credits.
Do you know who I think is looking more and more expendable every year? And I think they could actually get rid of.
Go on.
Slade.
I think they need to decide what they're going to do with Slade. I said it at the start of the season. I'm certain that he has all the skills at his disposal to be a world-class fly half.
A good fly half, yeah. Except for the mental skills.
But with every passing year, you're eroding the opportunity to do it. And if you play him, you certainly in the short term you will be conceding something,
but
because he's not yet as good as Steenson.
I don't even think Steenson's the problem for him. I think the problem for him is Simmons below Steenson. So I think they're going to bring Simmons through as the next 10. Sorry, did I say Steenson or Simmons? Simmons through as next 10.
Do you think?
Yes.
So he's played one game, two games this year.
I've got a sneaky feeling about it, and I know that they rate him very highly. So that would mean he plays like that 12 position. But Devoto is a better version again.
Yeah.
So do they just keep a very expensive utility player around on big money, or do they move on?
Well, I think for him, if he can't, it depends where he wants to play. If he wants to play centre or if he wants to play 10 long term. But if he can't get game time, which he's not had as much game time as he should have done this year, maybe the best thing for him is to move on as well.
What do you think, Tim? Am I just crazy saying that?
I don't think you're crazy, but I also think that Henry Slade actually, just when you look at Instagram and you hear him talk, he's a real family-oriented fella. And seems very, very humble.
I'm not suggesting he should leave his family. Though.
No. I know that, but I mean, I actually think he's very, very settled.
Throw his family in a wood chipper and go to Bath.
I think it seems to be a really good environment for him, and I think that it's a squad game now, and I also think that his he's still very young. What is he, 23?
I don't know. Is he that young? I mean, look, he's a cracking player. Maybe you just keep him around. I don't know. I'm just ruminating here. That's all.
Henry said 24. He just turned 24 a couple of months ago.
Excellent. Right, let's leave it there, shall we? Unless you want to do some Leo Vegas stuff, but we are going to do lots of other podcasts. So
I was just briefly on the England Barbars. Just a twat. Didn't realise how much of a softly spoken man he was.
Yes.
So ruthless on the field. And also, did you watch the halftime adverts? There was a Rubicon advert. If you've not seen it...
I've not seen it.
It's possibly one of the worst adverts I've ever seen.
Wow!
It was bizarre. It was really pickled my head a little bit. So it's basically a bottle of water humping a mango. In fact, it's a bottle of water going round and just playing loose with a load of different fruits, just having having a fruit orgy. And that is the
we've
Rubicon
all been
advert.
There.
What's your fruit of choice, JB?
I couldn't possibly say.
Cantaloupe.
Yes. Butternut squash.
Oh, I do love it. A big, big pineapple.
Delicious.
Fresh pineapple.
As we're talking about Barbarians, congratulations to Jamal Ford Robinson, who is now officially an England player.
Well, it's a non-test game.
That's a non-cap game, as it should be.
Yeah.
As it should or shouldn't be, whichever way you look at it.
Can
I? I was going to say about this. We've just briefly, when you were touching upon, you know, these young guys like Maunder and co coming up the ranks. Again, I know a lot of them couldn't be involved. It was great to see Mark Wilson playing. And
yep.
That was a guy that deserves that England shirt. And it's overdue, in my opinion, being in and around that squad. And I hope that translates. But just again, going forward, I don't want to see lots and lots of kid under 15s England run out, so I want to see the best possible players you can put out there in every game as we lead up to the
Can
World
I make
Cup.
A suggestion? It's not popular because I know everyone loves the Barbarians. I'm not one of them. Why not give that test window to a tier 2 nation?
Yeah, good idea.
It's better than having the old boys club rock up again.
I do quite like the Barbars. I love the idea that they get thrown together on a day, they have two or three nights out leading up to the game.
And that's actually what they do.
They run around in a park for a couple of hours and then they go and play against an international side. I love that.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
The history of it as well. And this was some Barbarians team as well. Yeah. There's some quality names, quality operators.
But even like Barbars against a tier 2 name. I mean, I just think like it seems like an unnecessary way to spend an international game. I mean, you could actually play tier two teams. You could have one against England, one against the Barbarians, if you really wanted.
You could do, yeah. Make a day of it.
Yeah. So I just think there's a better way to use this time than what they're doing.
So we didn't learn a huge amount about England. Probably one of the best thing is...
Curry's man of the match, sell shots.
Well, yeah. So Curry and Underhill, England have actually got two... probably genuine athletic scavenger type open sides.
Yeah. Well, two Currys, so three.
So three, yeah. Because those Curry boys are near identical.
Exactly right.
I mean, Ben was supposed to play, but then Tom ended up playing.
So in Robot Wars, there is a rule called for cluster bots. So like, you can have your robot, and it can separate into two. But if one of the robots is rendered inoperable, then they're both disqualified. I wonder if they can do the same kind of thing with the Curry boys.
Or play them both, or play 16 players.
16 players.
But then if one Currys of them gets injured,
yeah,
or one of them gets yellow card, you're down to 14 men.
Exactly, Robot Wars clusterbot rules.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll run it past Bill Beaumont next time we see him.
Yeah. And one of the...
I I'm not against it for this Barbarians game, but yeah, I'm definitely not against clusterbots. But I don't. We're talking about players again. I think even talking about Maunder as an England scrum half or the Currys as an England seven, it's way, way, way before time, and I don't expect to see them again in an England squad. And again, I may well be proved wrong. I'll be happy to be proved wrong, but I don't expect to see them in an England squad before the World Cup.
Well, you'd hope you'd see them in an England squad before a World Cup,
but those two and Underhill, do offer something genuinely different to Robshaw or Haskell or Itoje or Wood or the people who've played there.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
I'll go on further as well. I think, actually, it's nice to talk about the Currys. I think Underhill is the more established of the
three. Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see. So he's at Bath next year. We will see him week in, week out.
By the way, Bath with him and Mercer. Talk about building for the future.
Well, Francois Lowe as well.
Francois Lowe,
sorry, not for a build for the future, but someone for those two to learn off is brilliant. And Faletau.
And they
Underhill is out of the England tour to Argentina, I believe, now with injury.
Is he? That is a shame, because he's been injured a bit this season as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he can still play for Wales then? Till he gets that first cap, he's still eligible.
Well, now he won't be living in Wales.
Yeah, but he's got his residency, has he?
No, because it needs to be 3 years continuous residency directly before you're capped.
Oh, well, that's the end of that then. That's the end of that dream.
He could play for the USA, though.
I would do that. I'd do that based on this. If it ever kicks off in America, and it might well do, you would be Captain America. You'd have the whole continent to yourself. You'd have the NBC job that Corbusiero... I mean, Corbusiero just has...
Italian-American grandfather.
Yeah, and like
raps a bit.
Yeah, and he's got a job with NBC. Yeah. Sam Underhill would own NBC by the end of it. I mean, that's his move. But what do I know?
Right, before we get into, or really as a lead up to getting into this week's Leo Vegas, shall we talk about the top 14 semi-finals? Mm-hmm. And the only really important points of them was the red cards. Which, probably the most important red card of the weekend was the Tom Wood one, which was Stade Francais against Northampton. Tim, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Idiot.
What's your take of this?
I think, actually, I would have given Tom Wood a red card for his behaviour after the stamp, when the referee gave him a red card. Bleating and moaning and having a pop at the player on the floor going, look, and it was partly Tom Wood's behaviour which brought about a big chant around the whole stadium of cheat, 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 cheat from the Saints fans, who didn't cover themselves in any glory at that moment either.
No.
I'm so conflicted on this, because I just said immediately, red, off, gone, because I know the laws, and it's stamp on head, gone. I mean, there's no...
No, well, hold on. Right. Studs made contact with face. Fair enough, I'm happy with the red card. I'd also be happy if the ref went... Right, you weren't... That was really, really reckless. Go and sit down for 10 minutes. I wouldn't have been against that, but I understand how the laws... But let's just stop describing it as a stamp, because it wasn't a stamp.
It depends on your definition of a stamp. He did not slam his foot down, but he put his foot on a player's head.
It's a pretty emotive word, isn't it?
It's absolute cast iron. Red card. Reckless is probably the right word to describe it, Tim. I'm not saying there's any intent there, but it was reckless.
Yeah.
But as you said, his reaction after it, I thought, was absolutely appalling. And if the contact with the head is a red card and a 3-week ban, I would suggest that should be doubled or possibly worse, because he's shouting at the referee, I bet he plays on. I bet he plays on. And
it's not really the point, is it?
It's definitely not the point. It should be nothing to do with it. He really embarrassed himself there, I feel.
So
agreed.
I'm going to have to say it probably is a stamp. But then, you know, whatever happened to just getting up and playing? I mean, that's the bit that I miss.
That wouldn't have even... I'm not going all the good old days, but I don't like... There's a slight political correctness again, which is why I'm trying to get away from. Let's get away from emotive or descriptions, which actually, like a stamp, is like a willful or reckless aggressive act to hurt someone. It wasn't a stamp. He got his foot in a place where a guy's head was. Fine, I'm not totally against it being a red card, but equally that anyone who played the game 30 years ago would just be shaking their head. What?
Yeah. So, I mean, what you need... I got stumbled on the face once at Abergele, of all places. Not a rugby game, but still. So you get a stamp, you're crying inside, and it's really painful, but you get up and you play on because you're not meant to show any weakness. I don't like this rolling... It's almost incentivising players to stay down injured. And from that kind of point of view, yeah, Tom Wood embarrassed himself, but... I do kind of see it. I mean, he did play on. You know, I think Tom Wood is completely wrong to express himself the way he did. But I am sick of players, as soon as something happens, lying on the floor for a little bit longer, or there's a stamp, sir, I'm going to hold my head, or whatever it may be.
Do you know what? This is what you get when you make it all about letter of the law. You believe in me now. You heard me years ago.
I think you heard me years ago. But either way, I think we're singing from the same hymn sheet here.
Yeah.
So from that red card, there were two red cards in the top 14 finals. One for La Rochelle, who lost to Toulon at home, which was for a tip tackle on James O'Connor.
Oh, okay.
Either of you seen it?
Nope. Is it worth seeing?
It's worth. It was a definite red card. It was fair. Again,
O'Connor okay?
It felt reckless. I'm not sure, to be honest.
I hope so. Oh, hang on. He's not banned. I thought he was banned.
No, I don't think he ever failed a drug test.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah, he played 12. Definite red card. Probably again, Chris, rather than any intent, or certainly that's the way I'd like to think of it. But definite red card. And then Clermont versus Racing, which was one of the most chaotic games I've ever seen, particularly in the second half, after Clermont were 20 points up at half time. And then Flip van der Merwe took off Teddy Thomas's head.
Yep, I've seen this one.
30 seconds into the second half, which just completely opened the game up.
Yeah.
And Chris Massoe, playing his final game at 38, scored two tries and slotted a conversion when Racing lost by 6 points.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, at least we never have to wonder what rugby would look like if it was treated as an amateur sport with loads of cash in it. I'll be interested to see how the top 14 pans out in the final. And it would be amazing to see Richard Cockerell and Mike Ford walk away with the top 14 title. After everything that those two boys have been through this season, last season, to become champions would be unbelievable. And then lose their jobs at the end of the season.
Of course they're going to lose their jobs at the end of the season. So yeah, chaotic game. But it does mean that we have a Leo Vegas pick of the week this week.
You will in a second. Of course, Tim isn't here to do the stuff, so I won't do the music. Should we just do our picks?
So we've got
Leo Vegas, bet of the week, the final is...
It's
Toulon.
Toulon, Clermont.
Clermont by a lot,
done.
I had a
There
shot.
We go.
So we have seen repeats of this final in the past, although with a stronger Toulon team and a weaker Clermont team. So I have to agree. Clermont surely are going to... I know they're very bad in finals. They've got this horrendous record. But surely Clermont, unless... one of their second rows does something, or one of their players does something stupid again and gets a red
Clermont
card.
Clermont by 15.
Yeah, give me Clermont by 10 points.
So, do you know, so if you go on to Leo Vegas, you'll see that we tweet the link. You can actually bet on our scorelines. So there'll be Phil's scoreline, my scoreline, and Tim's scoreline. So you're 12 points. Sorry, were you 12?
I'm 10.
10,
Clermont
I'm 15.
By 10.
Phil, Tim?
Clermont by 8.
Unanimous. Clermont will be the champions. Hear us now, believe us later.
So unanimous after we all correctly predicted Exeter.
Yes, and I predicted Scarlets.
Did you predict Scarlets?
I certainly did.
Wow.
Check the records.
Very good.
Excellent. Right, let's leave it there, boys.
Now,
good work.
We will be back for an MWLP, Midweek's Lions podcast.
Thank you.
Lions part one. Lions episode one, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Which will probably, most likely, be coming out on Thursday morning. But we'll watch our Twitter feed at Rugby Podcast, and we'll keep you updated on when we're recording it.
Exactly. So until then, you can find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. You can find us on Acast. Leave us reviews on iTunes, which is always very much appreciated. And until we see you next time, let the boys...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Play. Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you, JB.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Let the boys play.
Bye-bye.